You are listening to the Two Dap Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High Two Dap Yanks studios. And joining me for probably one of the last few times from the Crescent City studios is Corey Chatelain.
Yeah, newly tired, newly vehicled, newly red lagered, newly almost fished internet scam Corey Chatelain. It's been a busy few days.
That's right. Corey's moving up in the world. He has employment. He has wheels. And today I saved him, I don't know, $1,000 or more by being like, hey, man, this doesn't sound right.
Yeah, you and King Butter. So I know King Butter, a buddy of mine from Indiana, sometimes listens to the show. So, yeah, between you and King Butter, y'all saved me $1,000. From a fake Airbnb site.
Yeah, Corey was telling me about this great apartment he found, a downtown apartment, two bedrooms, $500 a month. Some executive from Expedia or something was the story, right? Owned it?
Yep, supposedly.
And so Corey had it all lined up. And what did they want you to pay in, Corey?
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yes.
But there again, see, I found articles that apparently Airbnb thought about going to Bitcoin a while back or something. But yeah, between you and asking my buddy who's used Airbnb several times, it's like, yeah, that doesn't sound right either. And then going back and then started seeing the red flags. It's like, oh, yeah, look, that's strangely worded. Oh, yeah, nobody from Dallas actually talks like that. He puts his name on the last line instead of at the bottom like everybody else when they sign off. Things are a little odd here.
Yeah.
So anyway, nobody cares.
No, they do. So be careful. So if you're on Airbnb and they ask you to deposit money in some kind of Bitcoin machine or whatever, don't do it. It's a scam.
But if you like Nissans, go and buy one because they're freaking cheap right now.
There we go. There's some advice. And Nissan is not paying us yet.
No.
They want to be a sponsor. We'll gladly take them on.
Yeah, because between their cars in real life and their cars in the video games that I race, I'm becoming a huge Nissan fan.
All right, so let's get moving into the soccer world here, Corey.
Sure.
Before we start raging, let's talk about some things that'll make us happy.
All right.
Comparison, that is, anyway. And that would be yesterday, on Monday, was the draw for the third round proper.
Oh, yeah.
FA Cup. Let's run down here through the list. So those matches will take place the weekend of January 6th and 7th, which is a little bit later than normal, probably because of the way the calendar falls this year. So that'll be, I guess, technically the second weekend in January.
Yeah, because I'm not sure when New Year's Eve is this year.
I think it's like on a Saturday, Sunday. Or Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, Monday, something like that. So there we go. So your third round, let's just take a look here at the list. If we got first one that jumps out is we got a Merseyside derby. Liverpool will be hosting Everton, which is a pretty big match.
Yeah, the newly refreshed Everton with Sam, Big Sam.
Yes, that's right. We talked about last week, and he was introduced as their manager, and I do believe they won in their first match with him. Is that correct?
Believe that's correct, yes.
All right, another matchup here. We got an all Premier League matchup between Brighton and Crystal Palace. Then Aston Villa will be playing Woking or Peanut Butter United in the Durpam game.
Yeah, the Woking United, that's for all the people that are woke.
There we go.
Yeah, all the people on Twitter that are woke, that's who you should support, Woking.
There we go. Coventry City, Stoke City. Just going through here. There's a lot of good, great matchups, but we'll just limit here. Here we go. Nottingham Forest versus Arsenal. So Arsenal will be traveling to Nottingham for their game. Are you happy with that draw?
Sure. I Because isn't Lehigh still with Forrest?
He may be.
Some Americans with Forrest. I was looking at the roster earlier today, and I already forgot.
Okay, then it must be him.
Yeah, I think it was Lehigh.
I don't think he's left. Here we go. QPR versus MK Dons.
Oh, that's a 1990s Division I derby.
Exactly. Manchester United hosting Derby County. I'm just trying to pick up here. Spurs will be playing AFC Wimbledon, which is an interesting matchup. I don't think we played them since they've rebooted. Or not rebooted, but reformed might be the better word.
Yeah, get to play FC Football Manager.
There we go, yep. Let's see here. Middlesbrough-Sunderland is another match you could look forward to.
That's a derby too, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right, it is.
That's a Tyneside derby, isn't it?
No, that's not the Tyneside one, but it's that's Sunderland and Newcastle.
Oh, yeah.
What else we got?
All in the Tyne.
Well, here anyway. We go. You got Wolves, who are in first place in the championship against Swansea. Millwall versus Barnsley. Fulham versus Southampton. And then, I guess, Norwich versus Chelsea.
Yeah, so do a lot of Americans still support Fulham?
No, probably not.
Or did they jump ship to some people? I know one of the people we used to follow was a fairly staunch Fulham supporter.
Huge. When they call him Fulham America. What was it? I don't know. They had some crazy name. But yeah, they don't have a lot of they're out of the Premier League, right? So, of course, the American fans will show their colors and jump ship for that alone.
You can always find them on Irate Pay Eid phase.
Yeah. So there we go. So there's just a quick thing. If you want to go find out who's in the draw, you could just Google it.
is the FA Cup still important since we've won it several times in the last few years?
I believe it still is.
Or is it like the – well, it can't be the Tin Pot Cup because we already got the Tin Pot Cup. So it's like the Brass Spittoon Cup.
The spittoon? Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, the brass spittoon, you know, like in an old saloon.
Yeah, ka-ping, ka-poong.
Yeah.
Spittoon, that's what they call it, the spittoon, because that's the sound it made.
Right.
And he spat in it.
But I'm saying, you don't want to take it home, but you kind of need it. So, spittoon, you know? The brass spittoon cup, you know?
It's ugly, but functional.
Right, it's, you know, full of spit. So it's like, yeah, it's functional, but yeah, I don't really want to take this home.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It was a stretch.
There we go. Listen, what does this say? It says FA People's Cup? What is this?
I don't know. They got some weird sponsor.
What is the People's Cup? From Broken Pelvis? What?
Huh?
England? Yeah, I don't know. Hold on. This is just...
Oh, is that like one of those...
I don't know. This is like some kind of crazy...
Yeah, what's the...
I don't know. I thought it was like something, but this is on BBC, and it's called the FA People's Cup.
Yeah, there's like a disabled league or whatever they call the
– maybe.
Or like but, the – because you know how they had that Homeless World Cup?
Yeah.
It's I think it's similar to that. There's like – it's some kind of like – I don't know which group. It's some kind of downtrodden group, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, and they have articles about a lot of, you know, inspiring people, people who were very ill and then are in sport, you know, amputees, stuff like that. Interesting. Oh, look, there's cricketers who are – what are they? These cricketers, they were all in a gang at one point in time. Okay. Hmm. Street gang cricketers.
Yeah, like a real gang or like West Side Story gang?
Yeah, no, I think real.
Snapping your fingers.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the Jets versus the Sharks.
Yes.
I'm very sorry. All right, so there we go. So there we go, the little – I guess the calm before the storm. So now we must address the real issue of this
week. The good before the malarkey.
The malarkey, yeah. You're full of malarkey.
Yeah, because this is just...
So let's just start.
Like I said, it just sums up who it does. People are.
That's right. And it's the sum of all fears.
Yes.
As Clancy once wrote.
And the total is less than the sum of its parts.
Yes, most definitely. So the shocking, not shocking. Well, I guess surprising. Shocking's too much. Surprising, though, fits the bill, would you say? Sunil Gulati announced yesterday on ESPN.
Was surprising at the audacity, not at the actual move.
Okay, sure. Announced yesterday that he will not run for re-election for U.S. soccer president. And I think everybody out there who has been part of the Gulati out campaign since we failed to qualify for the World Cup, I do believe without the social media pressure, this would not have happened. I think he saw the writing on the wall for his own personal gain, that is, or his own purpose. Your thoughts?
Well, they're more thoughts are more along the lines of what we're going to get into in a minute, because it's kind of like what's about to happen is kind of like, you know, when we do the democracy building in the Middle East, we remove some knucklehead and the next knucklehead might be worse, because he's basically trying to pick his hand-picked successor and monkey with parliamentary rules to, you know, basically ramrod some person in. So, you know, it's what, like the other thing we talked about a few weeks ago, it's what people in power do. They don't want to give it up, and they either install a puppet or, like we were talking a few days ago, what Gulati and company is doing now is what people who think term limits will solve congressional problems, they're doing what the parties would do if you put in term limits. You just basically groom your successor and basically install a puppet.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. So let's just talk about Gulati here a little bit more. Of course, predictably, the national soccer media in this country was chiming him as, oh, you know, U.S. soccer and MLS and all this, we wouldn't be where we are today without him, blah, 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 blah. Trying to make him out to be some
kind
of hero.
You're right. We might have been in an even better place.
Exactly. So they tried – I love these people who try to say that, well, without MLS, we'd be worse off. Well, how do you know? Or without Gulati, we'd be worse off. How do you know? Where's your proof? You have no tangible proof, because from day one, the deck was stacked against what should have happened, because the people with the money, which was the NFL people, your Bob Crafts, your Lamar Hunts, were the ones who were driving the show. Now, and again, a lot of people talk about this fact that, well, this position is unpaid. And so Gulati's a saint, right? Because he's unpaid. Well, you guess what? He's collecting a salary from being a full-time professor at Columbia University. I'm guessing he makes a few dollars doing that.
Yeah, he's not getting paid. That's not the same thing as not being wealthy, because, again, that's one of the things that irks me about when people complain about the income tax, about, well, the rich don't pay income taxes. Yeah, because it's not a wealth tax. It's an income tax, and they're not claiming an income. Maybe read a book or two and learn how things actually work.
No, so it should also be noted that Gulati does sit on – I forget what it's called exactly, but, you know, the FIFA council. He's on it. He's not stepping down from that. So it's not like he's not going to have his hand in the cookie jar. He makes $300,000 a year from that. But let's also remember that there's enough circumstantial evidence out there to know that he's getting all kinds of kickbacks and bribes from everything he's done in the past. And there's ongoing court cases that are proving this, that he's received money from some. He's received money from television networks. He's received money from other countries. And remember, he was kind of the kingmaker. He was the deal broker who got Infantino, Sepp Blatter 2.0, elected. So trust me, he is not a noble man. Not in any bit of the word or a description of what a true noble person would be or do.
Yeah, and even if he was not getting paid and this was his only job, he's still a schmuck. So he's still a schmuck that, you know, basically kowtows to MLS, and you know the MLS basically runs the federation, so that's probably why he's not getting paid, because he technically doesn't do his job, because the federation should run soccer, not the league, you know, not the leagues, you know, basically running USSF by proxy.
Okay, now I saw something very interesting on Twitter. It was one of these statisticians, and he was breaking down the U.S. men's national team, I guess, success based on ELO ratings, which, you know, is all mathematical. But it broke it down by U.S. soccer president, since we basically reformed, right, our new federation, what, late 80s, early 90s, really, when it rebooted. And guess what?
We got worse.
Yes, Sunil Gulati is the only U.S. soccer president that has seen the U.S. men's national team get worse under his watch. Think about that. We actually got worse, and a lot worse. So you could look it up. If you just type in U.S. men's national team ELO, you'll find it. Pretty shocking that in terms of our standing in the world and our performance, we actually got worse under Gulati. Because... Oh, no, go ahead. We'll get into this other stuff later.
Well, yeah, no, I was just going to say that because I've made the argument before, and I don't remember if I made it here or not, that when people complain about going out at the second round of the World Cup, it's like, well, if you count all the European countries that don't qualify but that are probably on par with us, we technically have overachieved the last two times we've made it to the round of 16, because – just from the eye test, I don't think we're the 16th best team in the world. So if what people want to claim that the World Cup is the best tournament on the planet, then if we're in the best 16, supposedly, then to me, on eye test, we've overachieved the last two World Cups, because I don't think we're in the top 16 teams on the planet.
Sure, But you should also remember that, yeah, that's the big stage, the World Cup. I would agree with you. But remember, this takes – the ELO stuff takes into consideration everything. And it also takes into consideration – a big factor of ELO is, I guess, margin of victory, scoring, and stuff like that. And it shows that we're just not – we're bad. We're not very good, which we've been saying for a while now. We have gotten worse. It's clear.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. So just a simple – mm-hmm. You know, the Corey rating, take the, you know,
yeah,
take the 10 best teams in Europe. Take, you know, we would probably be about the 12th best team in Europe, in my opinion.
Maybe.
Okay. So already, let's just say we're 12th in Europe.
Sure. Yeah.
We'd be mid pack in South America.
No doubt.
That's five right there. So 12 plus 5 is 17.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably behind Mexico at the moment. So add another one.
Definitely.
That's 18.
Maybe in Costa Rica too.
And that's what I was just about to say. And you can make the case that Costa Rica and Panama might be ahead of us. So let's give us credit and say we're ahead of Panama, and let's not give us credit and say we're behind Costa Rica. So add another one. We're 19th. We might be one of the better teams in Africa, so let's just add another two just to give, you know.
Sure. We're probably top four there.
Yeah, so add another two, so 21, and then same thing in Europe or Asia. We're probably better than Australia, probably behind Japan. So let's just say, for the sake of the argument, without really getting into it, we're probably the 22nd, 23rd best team in the world just on the eye test. So there you go, last – times we've got to the round of 16, we've overachieved.
No, I would agree with that.
In my, you know, off the top of my head, shitty eye test formula.
So, yeah, so just think about these things. Of course, the media is going to clap for him, because, I mean, he has progressed the game, but has it progressed as far as it could? Because one could argue that we've put too much focus on commercialization and marketing, which gets me to my joke is, I think MLS stands for marketing lame soccer. They do a very good job at marketing. And bam, guess what? So he steps down. And then the very next day, Oh my goodness, how does this happen, Corey? The president of some, when Kathy Carter announces she's running for U.S. soccer president, what are the chances? What a coincidence.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, that they pretty much basically handpicked somebody from some, and then shockingly enough, you know, he's probably going to slide over and take her place as some's president. So,
if she wins, yes.
Well, yeah, obviously if she wins, but, you know, that's what I'm saying, that's what politicians would do if you do the term limits, because they're already kind of starting to do that. If you lose your election, you just move into the lobbyist group and you basically are the politician. Just, you don't have actual voting power, but you're basically the lobbying part of the politician. So, you know, you're almost like staff at that point.
Okay, so let's give a little background here about this Kathy Carter. Now, of course, everybody is already chiming this up as, yeah, we need diversity and we need blah, 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 and it's great to have a woman. And I agree.
Yeah, we need diversity. We need somebody that isn't hooked up with Kraft and some.
Exactly. It would be great.
How about that kind of diversity?
So before we get on this bash fest, let's not hear anybody saying that we're sexist, because if it was a man, we'd be seeing this very same thing. It's the last thing that American soccer needs right now is for the handpicked successor by Sunil for her to win. Now, here's the thing. I'm looking at her website right now. Here's some facts about her. She is a founding member of the MLS. It's prominently listed. You look about her. She was involved in the formation of the league in 1994. Since 1994, and she was on the 1994 World Cup committee. Now, she played soccer in college. She was a goalkeeper, they say. But she spent all her time since 1994 until now either working for MLS as a vice president of marketing and commercial aspects. And since 1999, I do believe, she's been the president of some, which she did step down to run for this office. That is the exact opposite that we need to do. Everybody did a good job in putting enough pressure on Sunil to step down. But now this is just part of the plan. They got the wheels in motion where he's going to handpick, hoping that she'll slide right in. And it's going to be no difference at all, because she's involved with the same people that Sunil is. Your quick thoughts before I add more.
Yeah, they're basically just trying to abdicate the throne and bequeath a crown to the same people. They're, you know, the same ruling family, as it were.
Basically. Now, here's the hilarious part. She is running, I kid you not, on a change platform. She's going to bring about change. Okay, you want to hear some of her platform here?
This is great.
Here is her vision, is what she calls it, on her website that just launched today. Kathy Carter. Her vision. Okay, her vision. This is the best one. Listen to this. Second to none. If I am president, I will lead the federation with the goal of making soccer the leading sport in America. Well, she didn't say the United States of America, right? So could you say that soccer is the number one sport in America?
Well, yeah, it already is, technically.
Yeah, if you include America, right? So maybe this is a wordplay. She doesn't say in the United States. She says in America, but with a capital A as well. So I don't know. She probably doesn't know the difference between America and the United States. But we're geographers, so
yeah,
I guess we have a leg up.
Yeah, most people actually don't, but...
Yeah. But I think she means the United States.
Yeah, I'm sure, like most Americans, she probably means the United States.
Okay. So as we've talked about many times before, you don't need soccer to be number one. There's nothing wrong with being niche, as we've said time and time before, and that's what's happened. The NHL, right? Try to get too big too quick. It ruined their league for a long time. MLS is going down that same path. It's okay to be really good in your niche. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, they're so focused on money. And I understand, right? Every sport is. But when you put the money over the competition and the money over the sporting merit, that's where you're going to run into problems.
Well, that and like most businesses, when you start chasing profit, you stray away from quality of product, which got you there. And when you become, because this is the problem with the Walmart model. If you're not Walmart, you're busy competing with Walmart, trying to be everything to everybody instead of pleasing the same, you know, your core base. I mean, this is the thing, the like the pub I used to hang out in Humpy's. This is one of the reasons I used to love their owners and their bartenders so much, is they had a bartender, or they had a, one of their managers flat out told somebody one night that was, you know, like a lot of people that go up there during the summer thought, oh, I'm a tourist, I'm spending hundreds of dollars, I should be catered to, blah, blah, blah. Why are you kicking me out? Yada, yada, yada. You know, cause she was being a pain in the ass. And he flat out told her, it's like, you don't pay my bills. It's the regulars that are here four nights, five nights a week, pay my bills. It's like, if, you know, if all you summer people don't show up, we'd still be in business. So go tell your friends, don't come. We don't care. So, but meaning that they know they've catered to enough locals in that niche that they don't need to be the big tourist bar, even though they kind of are. But if all the tourists left, then they would still survive because they have a thriving base. And that's what a lot of these leagues and a lot of the modern business models don't really understand. Because that's one of the reasons why when things go tits up and the markets crash, a lot of people are chasing cash, because they're chasing all these markets that, or, you know, they try to build markets around products instead of the product building the market out of the old model of, you know, supply and demand.
Bam. Hashtag economics.
Yeah.
Which Delotti is an economics professor, which makes this all hilarious. All right. More. She's got a section called change. Now, this is great. Again, she's running on change, even though she's been involved in some in the MLS since 1994. So basically, in the modern history of American soccer, she's been there as a decision maker, side by side by all these people. But now she's running on change. We're going to change it. Are you ready to hear some of her changes that she would like to make?
Sure.
All right, change. Maximize every resource. All right, listen to this. I will insist that athletes are at the table alongside best-in-class technical professionals to oversee player development and the management of our national teams. Blah, 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 blah. I will work with all the professional leagues to amplify such investment. Again, it is not the goal of U.S. soccer to prop up clubs. If you open up the system, the clubs will spend the money on their own to get better players and to get better coaches, because that's open competition. It's not a top-down thing. The national U.S. soccer should not dictate this. If you open up the system, the clubs will naturally do it, and guess what? If the clubs don't, chances are they'll go out of business, and someone else who is willing to spend the money will, without being told, you will do this, this, and this.
And this is the problem with all authority institutions. Instead of governing, they eventually central plan and inevitably become corrupt or inefficient and, you know, eventually collapse or become just some stuttering, you know, behemoth that is too big to be, you know, too big for its own good, too big to be efficient, too big to handle actual issues, and, you know, basically relies on these marketing people just to kind of prop the system up with sponsorship and TV money.
All right. Now here's the best one.
And maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I'm usually not. So,
okay. Here's her second change. Empowerment of business and technical experts. I will empower Dan Flynn and the staff of the Federation to do the job they've been hired to do. I will not be the CEO. My focus will be as the chairperson on the board. I will work with the elected and independent board members to govern the sport. So basically, she says, I don't want to manage this. I'm going to give it to Dan Flynn, who I think we've talked about in the past. And I think even Dan Flynn in our early days of the show, I do believe, used to send us emails and like ask to be on the show and stuff to spread his propaganda.
I wouldn't know. I don't see behind your curtain.
No, you don't. But Dan Flynn is another longtime soccer crony. And so basically she's saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to be a cheerleader, and I'm going to hand off my responsibilities to Dan Flynn, who is tied at the hip to MLS. Again, and no other country in the world is the FA tied to a league as it is here in the United States. Well, maybe Australia. But as you know, if you follow the news, Australia, they're on the verge of getting their league taken over by FIFA.
Well, even if they are tied to a league, it's, you know, it's still fairly distinct boundaries.
True. And I guess that's the big question, right? Is there is no boundary between U.S. soccer and MLS. It's one and the same. And that's the problem.
Yeah, or at the very least, it's pretty amorphous.
Yes. And then you add the third partner to that menage a trois, and that would be SUM, which, again, she is the president of SUM. Now, she stepped down. But let's be honest here. To think that they're still not going to consult her on things, you'd have to be pretty stupid to think so. And chances are, guess what? If she wins the election, which there's a good chance she will, because the machine is built for that to happen. As you said, look for Gulati to slide right into that slot. They're just going to switch positions. And I saw the big thing I saw is someone said, hey, this is just like Russia, right? Because of the rules, right? With the old Russian president used to be Medvedev.
Yeah, Medvedev.
And Putin was like the chancellor or whatever. And they just switched spots. So basically, this is like communist. It's not communist Russia anymore, but democratic, in quotes, Russia.
Yeah, authoritarian.
Authoritarian Russia. Yes, I like that. That's where you just change the names of the people, but really nothing changes. You're just switching the titles.
Well, and that's basically our supposed democracy and republic. Well, you know, that's another thing for you kids. We don't actually live in a democracy. It's supposed to be a constitutional republic. But anyway, just for the sake of the argument, that's what's wrong with our democracy. It's become an authoritative, top-heavy democracy where the nobles, i.e. Congress, basically swap positions in these consulting firms when they lose elections, like I was alluding to earlier, to where even when they don't win, they still can dictate policy through, you know, unelected positions and agencies and or these consulting or, you know, foundation firms.
Sure.
So
here's her last change thing.
One of which is basically USSF.
And I'm going to warn you right now, you need to prepare yourself, because once I read this, you may laugh so hard that you may rupture internal organs. Are you prepared so you do not rupture your internal organs?
I'm quiet. I'm trying to harness my chi.
There we go. Everybody at home, everybody listening there on all the platforms,
I'm trying to center my zen or whatever.
So. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, now we're on.
Okay,
if you're listening on TDY, if you're listening on Twitter. All right, here we go. I'm going to read this full paragraph. This is hilarious. Let me remind you, this is someone who's been lock and step holding hands with the decision makers since the very beginning of the modern era of U.S. soccer. All right. Her change, her third bullet point is opportunity for all, is the headline. I will ensure youth, adult, and affiliate members have the funding and resources they need to create programs that offer opportunities for more players to participate in the game. Americans of all backgrounds and socioeconomic status deserve an equal chance to participate and thrive in the game. Well, if you believe that, how can you have been working for these people since 1994? Right? If you believe for opportunity, no matter what your background, no matter how much money you have, how could you support the system that you helped put in place?
Yeah, unless she's like most people, or, you know, like, to invoke another offensive topic, like all the people that get moral once people in power start getting accused of sexual harassment. Oh yeah, we all knew this for years. Yeah, that's nice. And then y'all had the courage, because y'all were making money at the time, to open your mouth, though. So you don't get points for being moral once the ship's going down. So it's similar to this that, yeah, if this, like you said, if this is what you believe, why didn't you say anything? And if you did believe it and, you know, basically didn't want to rock the boat because you were busy collecting a salary, then, like I said, you don't really get points for saying it. I mean, I'll give you points if you do it, but color me skeptical that you're going to do it or be allowed to do it.
So she worked as vice president of marketing from MLS from 1994 to 1999. It says, in addition to her roles as an executive, Carter has been involved in the development of women's soccer at the international level. Now, I haven't checked this myself, but many people on Twitter were claiming that she, in fact, on Twitter does not follow any women's team, any women's league. She doesn't follow the women's team on the U.S. women's team on Twitter. She doesn't follow any women's players on Twitter. But, of course, she's going to trump it up that she's a big proponent of the women's game.
Yeah, well, that one, that I'll stay away from because...
Yeah, sure. I'll say it, though. I don't care.
Well, no, but just because that's one of the main reasons I left Twitter. People put way too much stock on Twitter.
Like, okay, I see what you're saying there.
We're, you know, I'm a... You know, like... When the president tweets about something stupid and everybody flips out about it, it's like, just fucking ignore it. It's fucking stupid. But, you know, this is the kind of shit 20 years ago, none of this existed. Somehow we got by, and now that it exists, somehow it's important because, you know what I mean? It's kind of like it's self-contained echo chamber universe. And
sure.
Maybe she doesn't use Twitter to communicate with soccer females. Maybe she just wants to follow dog memes or something, you know what I mean?
Sure, that's fair. We'll be
no, but,
fair.
But I mean, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying that
yeah.
That I won't hold against her because, like I said, that's part of my problem with people is we take Twitter way too seriously.
Okay, boys and girls, so just remember, if Kathy Carter wins this election, it is a vote for the status quo, and it's a vote for the plateau that we are now in, and something that we, I don't say that we predicted it, Corey, but we said we're in it. We recognize that we were in a plateau. And if Kathy Carter takes over as U.S. soccer president, we will continue in this plateau because it will be business as usual.
Yeah, because there again, you know, I mean, obviously the leagues are, I don't know, the leagues are important, but we spend too much time obsessed with the leagues. It's never going to get that much better until we fix the system, the development system from the bottom up, and get more of those, excuse me, more of the ethnic kids, more of the inner city kids that, you know, may have never played before, but, you know, may take to soccer because, you know, maybe they're shorter, you know, smaller in stature or whatever, because that's always been my thing. It's like, once... If America ever figures out that you don't need to be 6'1", 190, and that you can be, you know, 5'8", 140, 150 like I was in college, that'll be when people, you know, when we realize that, you know, you can be small and be good, that's when we'll figure out that, you know, we can actually be good at this sport instead of trying to fit the best athletes in the football and basketball dropouts.
Yeah, it's the bigger, faster, stronger syndrome. And because, right, in American sports, you do need to be bigger, faster, and stronger to survive. But in soccer, you don't. And case in point here, now I don't know how accurate this is. Because, again, you'll notice, here's a thing that I don't know if many people don't recognize. I do. But if you go to any soccer roster, in Europe that is, MLS may. I don't look at MLS websites to look at their rosters, but in Europe, they don't list height and weights of their players.
Yeah, because it's not important. Because
it's not important. And so
or it's less important.
And so I'm just looking here. Wikipedia claims that Pulisic is only 5'8", 139. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they have listed. But that just shows, right? Okay, so maybe he's a little bigger than that. Maybe he's 5'10", 160. But still, that proves your point that you just made.
Yeah, because there again, a lot of the guys that are 180, 190 that make it in college football that don't make it to the NFL, a lot of those guys are 150 guys that bulked up either, you know, legally or illegally, but that probably lose that weight when they quit. Or they're like me, they wasted, you know, 6 years trying to play American football instead of getting better at the sport that they probably were more naturally suited for. Because, you know, I think we talked about that before. I know people think I'm nuts, but I think if I would have concentrated on soccer from a young age, I would have been pretty freaking good. Like I said, instead of wasting time playing American football in high school. Although, you know, obviously it helped me a lot, but, you know, frame-wise, I was more built for soccer. And sure, a lot of people out there are like that. Instead of wasting time, like I said, bulking up and trying to be a power-hitting second baseman or, you know, a faster DB, you'd be a thinner, you know, winger or a N'Golo Kanté-type midfielder. So,
exactly, and my story is the same. I was a runner in high school and junior high, running track and cross country. I had some scholarship offers in college to run at some lower division schools. But I wasn't able to play soccer because of the play-to-play system. My high school was actually very good. They were nationally ranked when I was at school most of my youth. We had a Brazilian coach, a guy from Brazil, who was our coach, and he was a great coach. But the problem was that he was not only the coach at my high school, but he was the coach of the local club team. And guess what? I'm sure you can guess.
They won state.
Well, yes, sure. But I'm saying if you weren't a member of the club team,
you
didn't play on the high school team.
Yeah.
So there you go. So my family didn't have the money to play travel soccer in Wyoming to where you have to travel, you know, 6 to 8 hours just to play, to go to another town or to go to Colorado to play in another town. So that was the reality. So I was a runner instead. And I was a pretty good runner, a distance runner. But so there's many people with that story. And you and I are kind of like, you know, the same height and weight profile. When I was in high school, I was probably, I don't know, like 5'6", 130.
Yeah, I was 5'6 and a half, 135 when I graduated.
There we go. Yeah, I was a little bigger than that when I graduated. But so we have kind of the same thing there, but we have different stories. You decided to focus on football. You grew up in the South, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the soccer scene was there, but Wyoming has a very good soccer scene. But it was the pay-to-play system that we knew my parents were like, we can't afford for you to play soccer. And again, supposedly that's what Kathy Carter is against, even though she's been making decisions with some MLS and U.S. soccer basically since 94. She's against all that in broad terms. I mean, she doesn't say she's against pay-to-play. But when you put a sentence in there that you should say soccer should be available for everybody regardless of your socioeconomic status, that's basically what she's trying to claim. But it's all bunk. It's bunk.
Well, yeah, because if the American system's so good, why? Because that's the pay-to-play system is now evolving with the travel teams and other sports, and it's starting to ruin youth sports, and it's starting to kill the playground system, which used to be – especially down here, the playground system used to be, you know, huge. I mean, all the sport levels in the South are huge. You know, people make fun of us for still following high school football, but you go to most high school games, there's easily a couple thousand people, at most schools. And, you know, like I said, I've seen 600-700 people at a playground game before. So, like I said, it's if the American way that's always touted as being better because it's successful, but again, we're viewing the things usually from the top down rather than the actual overall health of the system. Why did we evolve these travel teams, which I know why, because it's, you know, it's about steering people to certain colleges and making money off of them and everything. But there again, these sports are, have evolved their own pay-to-play system, because that's basically their version of pay-to-play are these travel teams. And like I said, it's to the detriment of the lower income and the playground system, which, you know, obviously is way cheaper to play at a playground than to play on a travel team.
Exactly. And I guess the biggest example, right, is the huge firestorm that was made. I'm forgetting the timetable. I'm pretty sure it's this summer with the college basketball and the AAU ties, right?
Mm-hmm.
To where college coaches lost their jobs because there were kickbacks and there were payments made for players on AAU teams. And that's what's exactly what's going on in U.S. soccer, and it's legal. No one cares, because that is just part of the culture. That's the way it is, the business is done. And basketball, people are losing their jobs because of it. Big-time coaches have lost their jobs. So just think about that. That's all I ask you to do, is just to think about it.
Yeah, although, like I said, I just fear more of the same, or, you know, more of the sum, to use a bad...
More of the sum. That's right. So it's the sum of all fears. If you vote for Kathy Carter, you're just voting for more of the same.
The summus quo. What other bad puns can we make?
Summus quo? I don't know. The sum will come out tomorrow?
the sum of our discontent. Anyway. Yeah, it's just, you know.
It's depressing, really.
Yeah, and that's probably why I've pretty much given up on international soccer the last few years. Just kind of felt all this stuff coming, that we were coming to that crossroads of allowing the game to be ruled by the same people that rule our other sports and killed the small town teams, or go down the route of open system and having small teams, and maybe some of them, you know, go out of existence, but, you know, you have more of them around the country rather than these big, you know, corporate franchise entities, which is basically all they are.
Correct. And we have the ongoing Columbus Crew situations, which there is still no resolution to think about. So, all right. Well, I hope we weren't much of negative Nancy's. But the chances are, if you're listening to this show, you probably agree with us. Because if you don't agree with us, you're probably churning it off. And that's fine. We don't really care, do we?
Yeah, because again, if you like that system, you get what you get. Or, you know, you obviously got what you want. And why are you complaining when we underachieve? Because you got the people in power that you wanted in power. So...
That's right. So Sunil Gulati is out, but Kathy Carter very much baby in. So educate yourself on the candidates. We're not going to endorse anybody, but there's plenty of people running. And so do your due diligence if you're a voter. I know pretty much nobody out there who listens to this is a voter, because, again, that's the thing. It's such a closed system, even in the voting. We don't even really know who the voters are. We know who the
I'll endorse somebody. It's like my political philosophy for regular politics. It's like I'm pro gridlock.
Pro gridlock.
Yeah, I'm voting for gridlock. I want gridlock.
Pro gridlock. Is that the guy's name? Is his first name pro? Pro gridlock.
No, but if I ever run, that'll be my nom de guerre. Is pro gridlock. Vote for me so nothing happens and you have to do it yourself.
There we go. Independence.
Yeah, maybe you'll figure out how to do it your own.
All right, boys and girls. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Two Daft Yanks podcast. We'll be back soon, maybe, with a Manchester Derby
pod. Boy, I was just about to say, boy, I bet Myron's upset we didn't talk about Man U beating Arsenal.
Yeah, but maybe we'll do a Manchester Derby pod, a live pod. So check Twitter, check the website. If we decide to do something for that, we'll let you know there. So for Corey Chatelain, I'm Chad Smith saying, Galati is out. Now he has no money, Corey. He has no money. It's so sad.
Noble Galati riding off into the sunset to be canonized.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at twodaftyanks.com or at @twodaftyanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.